Today, as we come to the table,
God may have allowed the enemy to do it to show how much we love him. Are we showing how much we love him in the midst of it? Listen, I know we're human, but this is a reality that we need to understand as believers so we can fight the mental battle later and the mental battle better. And that is, Lord, don't let me blow my testimony in the midst of this storm. I've been in storms where my testimony was terrible. And when that happens, I say, God, you've got to grow me. You've got to mature me. I've got to be a good testimony for you, not for my sake and my reputation, God forbid, but for the unbelievers around me and for the believers around me that need to see, you know what? When Christians go through trials, they're going to be okay because God's with them.
The loudest testimony you have can be one where you don't speak a word. Every person on earth goes through trials. That's just part of being human and living on earth. But when a follower of Jesus goes through the trials, we have an opportunity to show the world who God is by how we respond to the difficulties. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark shows us that our testimony rests on our responses to the trouble around us, and sometimes you might fail. But in that moment, all you need to do is ask God to grow you. He is the one who grows us and makes our testimony ring true to the watching world. Ask God to grow your testimony today. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 27 as he begins his message, Weathering the Storm.
Weathering the storm. You know, every believer in Jesus Christ will weather storms at one time or another. And if we don't understand the dynamics of the storms as a Christian, we can find ourselves in deep spiritual trouble and even times with God doubting our faith. But if we understand that they're coming and that they're a part of God's plan, we're going to make it through. Guys, you need to realize storms are coming. I know you know that. Some of you are saying, Mark, don't tell me storms are coming. I'm in the midst of it. I already know the storm's coming. I want out of the storm. Well, wherever you are as a believer, you're either getting ready to go into one, you're in the middle of one, or you're coming out of one, because that is the Christian life. And I know there's a little bit of R&R from time to time. I know that we have seasons of rest. God gives that. But we're in a battle. And oftentimes, because of that battle, we're in a storm. And we need to realize that as believers, and we need to be planning for it mentally so that when it happens, we don't lose our faith. Now realize this, there are different kinds of storms we face as believers, and there really are three basic kinds of storms that every storm we go through falls into. And that is this, number one, storms of sin. And that means simply you have done something sinful, and because of it, you're in a storm. You brought it on yourself. You knew better than to do it. The Bible told you not to do it. Your conscience told you not to do it. You did it, and now you've got this horrible storm. You can't blame God. You can't blame Satan. You can't blame anybody but yourself. It's a storm of sin. That's reality. We've had those before. Some of you may be in one now. The second kind of storm is basically the storm that God allows Satan to bring into our life. Yes, God allows Satan to bring storms into our life. This kind of storm happened with Job. Remember with Job, Satan came to God and said, God, let me at him. He says he loves you, but let me prove that he doesn't. And in order for God to show everyone throughout history that Job did love him, God allowed Satan to bring storms into his life. And although we may not like that, sometimes that happens, and it is to prove our love for God and to prove that we'll be faithful to the Lord, which, by the way we respond in storms says a lot, doesn't it? If we're blaming God, if we're complaining about God, if we're mad at God, God may have allowed the enemy to do it to show how much we love him. Are we showing how much we love him in the midst of it? Listen, I know we're human, but this is a reality that we need to understand as believers so we can fight the mental battle later and the mental battle better. And that is, Lord, don't let me blow my testimony in the midst of this storm. I've been in storms where my testimony was terrible. And when that happens, I say, God, you've got to grow me. You've got to mature me. I've got to be a good testimony for you, not for my sake and my reputation, God forbid, but for the unbelievers around me and for the believers around me that need to see, you know what? When Christians go through trials, they're going to be okay because God's with them. So there's the satanic storm that God allows. The third kind of storm, and this is probably the hardest one for us as believers to grasp, and that is a storm that God sends us to himself. God designs the storm. God ordains the storm, and God sends us in the storm. And Paul, we're going to see, go through one of those storms today exactly like that. Now, whether or not God allowed Satan to use it to try to dissuade him or stop him or kill him before he got to Rome, we don't know. But we know that God said, you're going to Rome. I'm going to get you there. And then in God's path to get him there, God sent him into a horrific storm where a ship actually sunk in the Adriatic Sea after leaving the Mediterranean and the Adriatic Sea. And they had to swim for their lives to shore, but God preserved him. And God preserved everyone on the ship. And so there's a couple things to note here, and that is that sometimes God sends us into storms, and then when God sometimes calls us to go somewhere, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Are you guys with me? Just because it's not smooth sailing doesn't mean, well, God's not in it. I thought God called me, but this is so hard, it can't be God. It might be because it is God that it's so hard. And so we have to understand there are God-ordained storms. And so God uses them in our life in many different ways. And one of the ways, again, especially in a God-ordained storm, is so we can be witness to other people. And that is the people around us see us going through it, and they say, you know what, this guy's going through a terrible storm, but he's being faithful. And it draws people to the Lord. And so if we don't see God working in our lives in these storms, we can lose heart. They have a purpose, they have a reason, and God sends them for that purpose and reason. And because of that, we need to learn to rest and trust. You know, I was reminded of one of those storms, one of those God-ordained storms that you never would have seen God's hand in until many years later. But those of you who know Julianne Burleson and her testimony, I don't have time to go into it now. She has shared it with some of the women, and she may be sharing it more with the body even later on as she's working on her book. But I was talking to her a little bit about this a couple of days ago, and basically what happened to Julianne was she went down to Ecuador, and some friends, and I put that loosely in quotes, had her transport some things back to America with her. And when she got to customs, they had hidden, unbeknownst to her, a large amount of drugs inside of the paraphernalia that she was carrying back. They didn't believe her. She was shocked. She didn't even know it was there. She ended up spending 5 years in an Ecuadorian prison. And the testimony of what God did in that prison is amazing. All that will come later on with opportunities for her book or even her to share when it comes to that. But it's an amazing story. But this is what struck me when I was talking to Julianne about this. She said many years later, she talked to a drug lord that was there from Ecuador. And he said, I just wanted to talk to you. Matter of fact, it was actually while she was in prison, before she got out. She talked to a drug lord that was on the men's side that had asked her to request a meeting with her. And she met with him and they set that up and allowed it. And he said, tell me your story. She said the story. He said, well, let me tell you what would have happened if you'd have made it through customs. He said, I do this all the time, and I use women like you to do it. He said, had you gotten through customs, there would have been somebody waiting for you in America. They would have taken you to an undisclosed location and either forced you to be a drug runner or a sex slave the rest of your life. I think a drug runner the rest of your life, or they would have killed you on the spot if you had made it past that checkpoint. And it hit her for the first time in her life. God, if you had not had me arrested and thrown into jail, I would be dead today. Now, how many of us, if that happened, would be thinking, wow, I'm getting arrested in Ecuador and thrown in jail for 5 years. This is God, right? And yet, it was God. And not only did God spare her life through having her arrested, God used her in the prison as a witness and a testimony, and God is still using it now and what's going to happen in the testimony afterwards. Guys, understand, these are storms in life. Some of us have bigger storms, some of us have smaller storms. I personally like the smaller storms, but the bottom line is you're going to have a storm. It's going to happen, and we need to be ready. Now, we need to jump into this. There's a lot to cover today. Where we last left off with Paul, remember, Paul had been for 2 years up in Caesarea Philippi. He was not able to get a fair trial because the Jews were trying to kill him and the Romans were trying to do the Jews a favor. Nobody had any accusations they could really use against him. And now Paul appealed to Caesar, which was the right of every Roman citizen. You could appeal to Caesar, and they had to get you to Caesar on their penny, and you made your appeal. And so that's what Paul is doing now. Today we begin the journey. And what I love about this, not only did they begin the journey, but they began the journey at the government's expense. And that's always nice. And so Paul gets a free trip to Rome. Paul was doing a mission trip on the government, which is pretty cool. And so now, again, Paul starts his journey with this whole storm ahead that he doesn't even know is coming. But God is going to be faithful. Look at verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Amadratium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was also with us. And the next day, we landed at Sidon, and note this, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Now, guys, note this. Whenever God sends us on a journey for him, especially when God is sending us into a storm or any situation that God really is directing, God will move in the heart even of unbelievers to be a blessing to us. Note that. God controls the hearts of all people. And I know that not every believer is going to be nice to us. Some are very cruel to us. Some people are very mean. But I love watching this story here because I've seen this in other people's lives, and I've seen it in my life as well in my walk with the Lord. God will move on the heart of an unsaved centurion to be kind to me, to be kind to you in the midst of our journey. How many prisoners are allowed these rights and these freedoms? And God now moves in his heart and gives him that freedom. And I only point this out to say, realize that when you're serving the Lord, God has the power over everyone's heart that you interact with. And God can turn their heart to the right or the left. Don't forget to ask God for help in that. Lord, move in this man's heart, move in her heart, move in this situation. God will be faithful to do it. And notice verse 4, when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. So basically, we're seeing the journey here, and the centurion was the one in charge with all of the officers under him and everyone on the ships in getting these prisoners any way they could to Rome. Now they find this ship that can transport them on, and the journey continues. When we had sailed slowly for many days, we arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed. We sailed under the shelter of Crete and Salmone, and passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, which is near Lycia. Now, guys, this is interesting. Notice here as they begin their journey, it's not so bad at first. They're having a little bit of struggle with some headwinds. And now they finally, with difficulty, make it to this place called Fair Havens. Why is this happening? Well, what happens is, in this time of the year in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean, in the Adriatic, they start heading into late fall. And by the way, this would have been the end of October. Right around the time we're in is when this was happening, interestingly enough. And around the end of October, they start getting these storms there, and they move into the winter of these Euroclidean storms. They're these winds that come down off of the Asia Minor and sweep across the ocean and cause great storms in the Mediterranean, and oftentimes great storms there in the Adriatic. This is now the very onset. The winds of the storms are beginning, and they find themselves at some point they're going to have to stop and harbor for the winter. You wouldn't try to make it on across the Mediterranean or on through the Adriatic because you would want these storms to calm down and you'd want to wait until after the winter passed and then you would go on to Rome. So they're trying to find a place they can settle. The problem is they come to a place by the name of Fair Havens, which is kind of like we would call today a podunk country town. There was really nothing there we know historically. No party town, no good restaurants, no clubs. And you're talking about soldiers in the Roman army. You're talking about the guys that want the partying and the women and all the great restaurants and all the events. And they pull into Fair Havens and it's like, hey, there's no way we can stay here. We're going to see they say this is not suitable to port in because, again, Fair Havens was not active enough for them. And yet notice what happens. Look at verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. In other words, I've been through this before. If you remember, Paul says he was shipwrecked numerous times. He spent days and nights floating in the ocean. Paul didn't want to repeat this. He'd already had some interesting storm experiences. He didn't want another one. And although he's a prisoner, he takes a chance and says, look, I can tell by the time of the year, by the winds that are blowing, we should winter right here. We need to stay in Fair Havens. This is a safe place. We don't have to go out into dangerous waters. We don't have to risk anything. Let's just stay here. But again, you got to remember now, you got a boat filled with lust-filled, fleshly, you know, Roman soldiers. The captains of the ship and all those that are running this thing, they're wanting to part. They're not happy with Fair Haven, and they're driven by different things. And so notice what happens, verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken of Paul. Who wants to listen to this pastor? I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care. Now, he wasn't giving him scripture here, but I'm using an analogy. A lot of times in these situations, the pastor or the spiritual person or you guys trying to share your faith or the word, you'll talk to someone and you'll say, look, I can see the direction you're heading is not going to end up good. You're going to end up in some big storms, you're going to have lots of problems, and you're going to be destroyed. But what's interesting is because of their fleshly desires and being driven by their flesh, and we're going to see in a moment by their pride, and really this is by their pride, because what does this pastor know? We're professional sailors. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm going to talk to the captain of the ship. He'll know what the best thing to do is. We want to do what we want. Don't try to tell us what you believe is best, man of God, or whatever the case might be. And so we're going to see that they were led by their fleshly desires out of this place, Fair Havens, this safe harbor for the winter, heading out into dangerous waters, and where we'll see they will almost all perish. Now, guys, there's a huge picture in this and warning for us as believers. And what do I mean? Well, it's interesting to me. The word Fair Havens here, or the words Fair Havens, it literally means beautiful and suitable port. In other words, this was a place that was beautiful and suitable for them to stay and be safe for the winter until the storms passed. But because of their fleshly desires and because they didn't want to listen to what the spiritual guy had to say, they didn't want to listen to somebody reading from the Bible, we might say, if you want to put a modern day analogy on it, they said, you know what? I'm not happy here. I'm not pleased in the situation I'm in. I'm going to launch out into these waters, and they don't realize they're launching out into dangerous waters where they may drown and lose their life. And what is my analogy? Look, there may be some of you this morning right now that are discontent in your Christian walk. You're discontent in your life. Maybe you're discontent in your marriage. Maybe you're discontent in a job that you know God wants you to be in. That might be a job God is moving you on, but maybe you know God wants you to be there, but you just don't want to be there any longer. Maybe you're discontent in whatever your circumstances might be. It might be Christianity you're discontent with. I've been walking with the Lord, and I feel let down because God hasn't done this, this, and this. Listen to me. God has brought you to Fair Havens. He has brought you to a beautiful and suitable port to keep you safe. If he's got boundaries around you right now that you're not pleased with, there's a reason God has done that. Don't fight against the Lord. Trust him and follow his lead. Because if you follow your fleshly desire to go and satisfy what you're not satisfied with, I've got to have more and my needs aren't being met, or whatever the case might be, listen to me, believer, you're traveling into dangerous waters. God has put you in a place where you can be protected right now. And if you travel out into those waters, you're going to travel into the storm and you're going to ignore the warning of the Lord. And when that happens, you may live, you may not. But we're going to see God spares their life. They could have all perished in this. And I've seen a lot of believers go down with the ship and not make it out because of that very thing. But they decide they know better. They're going to listen to their fleshly desire and venture what they want, and they're going to suffer the consequences. And notice verse 12, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, again, only because it didn't have the party scene for them, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, not Arizona, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southeast and the northwest, and winter there. Hey, Phoenix was known as a party town. Phoenix has it happening, man. There's a Ruth Chris there. They got all the, you know, the nice nightclubs. They got everything in Phoenix, man. We're going to Phoenix. That's the place to be. Come on, let's do it. And they were allowing, again, their fleshly desires to drive them rather than realizing right in front of them were dangerous waters that could ruin their life. And Paul knows what's going to happen, or he has a strong suspicion of what's going to happen. And now we're going to find out Paul was right. Now we enter into the storm. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, note that, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. You know, oftentimes when we go in a path that we know God has told us not to, there can be smooth sailing for a while. Hey, this isn't so bad. You know, I know the Bible says that. I know the pastor said that last Sunday in the sermon. But you know what? This is not so bad. I stepped out in the waters. This is kind of pleasurable. This is nice. I'm enjoying this. And so far, there's no real storm. This is smooth sailing, guys. Be sure the storm is coming. Look at what happens. Verse 14. But not long after. I have that underlined. Because it's not going to be long until the winds are going to begin to increase if we choose to continue to disobey the Lord and travel out of our place of security into dangerous waters, the storm's going to come. Not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. This is the one I was talking about where, again, the winds would come off of Asia Minor and stir up the ocean. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they let her drive. Again, the storm got so bad, it's like they just gave up and said, you know what, we can't control the ship, we'll just let it go. And here's the dangerous thing about heading out into dangerous waters away from the call of God and that safe harbor that God has given us. There may be soft winds at first, but when the storms hit, we find that it's no longer us controlling our lives. The world's controlling it. Satan's controlling it. Our circumstances are controlling it. And rather than us steering the ship, we're being yanked back and forth by every wind that's blowing. And guys, that's the danger for all of us as believers. We have to make sure that we're allowing God to steer the ship, and it's not because we've made a foolish decision where now we're being yanked all over the place. Everything that we thought is out of our control now. That's exactly what's happening here. And running under the shelter of the island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. I find it interesting, the word Clauda here. And you know me, whenever I'm studying the scripture, I look at the word meanings and I look at everything because the Holy Spirit has built all of that in there. And I encourage you guys to do that. When you're studying the Bible, look at your word meanings. Look at all these things. If you don't know how to do it, I'll teach you how. The bottom line is that you need to be studying God's word to understand it. And the Holy Spirit speaks. And here in verse 16, Clauda, this island they went under here or went to after the storm had begun and they went the way that God didn't want them to, it literally means lame or crippled. And I find that very significant because that is exactly what happens to anyone that ventures out into waters they know they shouldn't be in. They become lame and crippled, maybe not physically, but almost always spiritually. And so it's a warning to us to stay away from that. Now, we're going to see that although these guys are making a bad choice, a sinful choice for their storm, Paul is simply a passenger going along. In Paul's life, God is using it in a godly way. Paul does not become lame. Paul does not become crippled because Paul trusts the Lord through the entire storm. And we're going to see that Paul stays faithful through it because of that. These guys are going to become quite endangered and, again, almost lose their lives. And so notice what happens here. Verse 17, when they had taken it on board, actually they secured the skiff with difficulty, and when they had taken the skiff on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands. That is an area where many ships would get stuck and sink. And they struck sail and were so driven because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. And the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Guys, note this. The storm has gotten so bad now, they're grabbing some of the things that they felt were essential for their journey, and they're throwing them overboard. But you know, it's amazing. Whenever we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we find out what is really essential and what is really not. And I think oftentimes God will allow us to go into the midst of a storm to show us what is non-essential, so that we'll grab the non-essentials and throw them overboard. If I hold on to this any longer in my life, I'm going to sink. Listen, believer, you may have something in your life this morning right now that God is saying, you're on the ship and you're in the middle of a storm and you're holding on to something that's causing the storm. You need to throw that overboard. You need to let it go, because if you don't throw it overboard, it's going to pull you down. It's going to pull you overboard or make the sink ship. The ship sink, rather. Yeah, make the sink ship. It's a new thing that happened only in the language. That's why you've got to study these things. The bottom line is the ship's going to go down if you don't do it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but I've found that when I'm in the midst of storms, there's a lot of things in my life that I've been holding on to that God says, why are you holding on so tightly? Let that go. And when I let it go, that's when the blessing comes. That's when the storm begins to release. And that's when God does his greatest work. So they begin to throw these things overboard that they no longer need because it's causing problems in the midst of the storm. You get the analogy. And when the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Guys, have you ever given up hope? Some of you in your heart, you gave up hope. But let me ask you this. Are you sitting here this morning? You better believe it. You know what that tells me? God was faithful. There was no need for you to give up hope. You simply gave up hope, but God was faithful and God has shown himself faithful to you. Guys, it's very easy to be discouraged. And sometimes to give up hope. And notice this, what caused them to give up hope. The storm was so bad, but now the clouds had become so bad they could no longer see the light anymore. They couldn't see the daylight. They couldn't see the stars. It was darkness wrapped in this cloud. And oftentimes in the midst of the storm, it can get so dark. And I've been in storms before that seem so dark, I'm thinking, Lord, where is there any light? You know, there's a light. You've heard that. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but when you get there, it's a train, right? That's what you're thinking anyway. No, there's a real light from God. And God is going to give us hope.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.